I asked a question of several people a couple of months ago when we were planning this convention. Why did you come and why do you stay? And I wondered why, you know, many of us came here for different reasons. Many of us came here by accident. Many of us stay here because there is something about this organization. And I asked a couple of people to give me 2 minutes. So I didn't put them in the agenda, but I'm going to stick them on here and there. And the first person that always comes to mind is somebody who came right at the beginning, a person who was here on day one and is still here today, being my conscience, being my butt kicker when she needs to be, and being my mom when she needs to be that too. Somebody I can get a hug or a smack from, one or the other, depending on her mood. Ladies and gentlemen, for the couple of minutes of why she came and why she stayed, I give you Laura Herman.
Good morning. It was 1956. I received a letter from people that I didn't even know, and it invited me to a meeting in, I believe, Syracuse, New York. I had no idea what it was about, but I decided I would go. In 1956, I had married my husband. We had purchased a nice little Cape Cod house. I had a job with about at least 12 years of seniority. So I just figured I'd go to this meeting for the heck of it. When I got there and I listened to the concerns of the people, I knew that I had found my niche in life. I could no longer bask in my own success and the fact that I was not like other blind people. So from that day on, I became a staunch member of the National Federation of the Blind of New York State. At that time, we were the Empire State Association of the Blind. One of the first things that we discovered that we had to take care of was to see to it that there for state universities, which are the least expensive costs for higher education, it was required that people had to pass a physical exam. So this eliminated the blind. After a while, we did manage to get that stipulation changed. And now I know many, many of you people are going to college, state universities. Number one, as we grew stronger and bigger, we knew that we had a tough road to hoe. And then our next big accomplishment was to eliminate the, it was during the time that I was president, thanks to my legislative chair lady, Dr. Adrienne Ash, I don't know how she did it, but I received a call from her telling me that we had convinced the legislature to amend the New York State human rights law, to amend it to include the same protection for blind people as it did for other minority groups, which meant that blind people could no longer be discriminated against when they wanted to rent an apartment. Also, in the areas of employment, the prospective employment couldn't throw the insurance thing at them, stating that blind people were a bigger hazard than any other group. One more step to first-class citizenship. I'm skipping some of them because Carl gave me a limit. Another progressive step that we took was to demolish NAC. In 1973, while I was state president, we had our convention in New York City. And at that time, Will Webb and we had this great big demonstration against NAC. And we had Will Webb and Pete Royal carrying a coffin because we were planning to bury NAC in effigy. I carried the New York State banner. And as you all know now, NAC is nothing but a name. It has no power. It has no status. So that was another accomplishment because we felt that NAC had no idea of what to do to help blind people, and they just were useless. Then in 1984, this is another one of our, when Sterling France was president, called me and told me that Governor Cuomo would be holding a town meeting in Niagara Falls. And would I go there and ask him to include $4.5 million in the state budget for non-vocational rehabilitation services for elderly people, people who are no longer employable. And I went, and when my name was called, I got there, and I couldn't think of a word to say, but the governor said, oh, yes, I remember you, because I had spoken to him a couple months ago before that. Anyhow, I spoke to him stating that these elderly people have been employed and they've been contributors to the community. And now that they've lost their sight, the only mandate was that they return their driver's license to Albany, and then the doctor would say, you are blind, and I'm sorry, there's nothing that can be done. So Governor Cuomo promised me that he would include the $4.5 million in the budget. And as it turned out, this non-vocational rehabilitation to elderly people continues to be the greatest thing that ever happened to these people. It is so gratifying to meet people who are so thankful that they are really, really being excellently serviced by the commission. I know the Buffalo Commission is very, very good with the elderly people. So, as I said, each year we set a new goal, and as we marched to first-class citizenship, I just kept thinking that the next goal would be the last thing, and we would be first-class citizens. Of course, that wasn't the case, because we're still marching. In 2003, Senator Mazars introduced our Braille literacy bill, Braille literacy bill, and it was passed. And we also fought hard to have blind children mainstreamed into public schools. And we were very happy with the results of this until we checked on how's the Braille reading going. And it was discovered that it was 20 years since we had passed the mainstreaming. And we found that the Braille literacy when kids were going to residential schools was 90%. And as a result of the mainstreaming, Braille literacy had been reduced to 10%. So, again, we worked with the Department of Education for years and years, and we're still working with them. I understand now with modern technology that we have the Kindle, but nothing is perfect because there's still problems for blind children. And the National Federation is negotiating to have this taken care of. But what I have to say in conclusion, it is good to look forward, and we have a lot to look forward to, the cars for the blind and all this technology. I will end soon, promise. So
that wasn't me, that was somebody else.
Oh, thank you.
That was Baltimore.
So what we have to do, besides going forward, we must not forget to look back. Laws are made, but there is no guarantee that they are being implemented as they were written. We've got to look back as we go forward. And also, blind people have rights. We all have rights. But without the power to make these rights a reality, there's nothing we can do. That's why it's very, very important to let the people know, to let them realize how different things are now from what they were in 1956. And it's very important for each and every one of us to be a missionary. Go recruit. Pretend you're an Army sergeant. Do anything you can. Get people to come here. And get people to realize many blind people think that not having rights is the way it is for blind people, but we know better than that. Now we're going into the adoption, minimum wage. It will never cease, but we must never stop trying to implement the rights that we deserve. And one of the things that I'll always remember, Dr. Jernigan, the first three or four conventions that we had in New York State, was the central speaker. And he always said, and I may sort of bumble off, this is how I remember it, and I believe it strongly. He said, where we came from, and we will never come back. Join me on the barricades. And this is it. Even though we've progressed this far, don't sit on your laurels. Get out there and keep going, because opportunity, security, and equality is the right of every blind person. And what's kept me going is the fact that I knew how lucky I was in 1956. All my dreams had been realized. I never realized how blind people were treated. And I can tell you, and people can vouch for this, I've been in the organization since then, and I bet there's no more than five conventions that I've missed. And every time I come to a convention, I go home excited, knowing that we're still going forward, and always never forget to look back and correct. Keep an eye on everybody. We're inclined to get a little lax. I think we did that in the Braille for blind children and mainstreaming. Mainstreaming is good. But it's not very good if you're not going to be able to read and write at a format that nobody can replace. They're trying to do all this electronic stuff. But Braille is, you can see the words, you can see the format, you can learn the different, this time I really will end. as I said, I feel as excited today about what we're doing, the subminimum wage, the adoption of blind children, the taking away of blind children is wrong. I am still as excited as I was at the first my convention. There is work to be done. Let us go do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much.
Thank you.